Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us. Tony and Melissa, in the morning, we are honored to be able to talk to Governor Ned Lamont. He is here not only to talk to us, but also to take some of your questions that you've been asking from home. Governor, thank you for being with us this morning. How are you holding up?
Melissa, good morning. Doing well, considering all, but it's going to be a tough month.
Yeah. I'm glad that you said that, because before I even get into listener questions, Governor, I have to ask this. We know that all throughout the week, I have seen you talk about it on different networks, MSNBC, CNN. I think you just had a clip on it yesterday talking about this. In your opinion, why isn't Connecticut receiving more from the feds? I know you've pushed that Connecticut is number four for the highest number of infections per capita. So any reason why the PPE and ventilators are going elsewhere? Is this political?
No, I don't think it's political, Melissa, but I think they think in terms of states. So they look at the number of people infected in New York, and they look at the number of people infected in Connecticut, and they pour the resources next door. And as Andrew Cuomo knows, and as Phil Murphy knows, the governor of New Jersey, and I know, it's not New York City. It's the region that is having a hot zone right now. So I don't begrudge Cuomo for getting a lot of ventilators, and he wants me to get more ventilators as well. So together we can put out this fire. He's gotten 4,000 ventilators, and we've gotten 50. So, we're pushing hard.
All right. Governor, we're taking questions from listeners here this morning. Nancy Polari says her husband, he's 71 years of age, still reporting to work because he's essential. What's your message to workers 60-plus who need to go to work and make money?
I would say anybody over 65, certainly over 70, should not be going to work. I don't know exactly what work he is. Maybe he's a pulmonologist, and we desperately need him, and there's no alternative. But generally speaking, I would say stay at home over 70. Stay at home.
And earlier this week, we had a question from Darlene Christo. It had to do with Sikorsky workers. Well, just after having you on the air, Governor, Sikorsky shared that two Stratford employees tested positive for COVID-19. This was literally like an hour after we had you on the air. What's being done to protect these workers and only allowing for critical workers to be at places of work at this time?
Well, for example, it's Sikorsky, which, as you know, by federal law, has to stay open. It's a critical defense. But what they're doing there is every worker is self-testing at home, self-diagnostics. We're trying to get them more thermometers so they can test anybody going into the facility. I know that Dan Schultz, the CEO, is doing everything he can to make sure there's social distancing there going forward. And those workers are particularly required to a social distance, isolate, and stay home, not get in any groups. Because if two or three of them, test positive, you could have real problems on the plant floor.
All right, Governor Ned Lamont is here with us. Sir Robert Mills wants to know if construction for the state will be shut down soon.
The big outdoor public construction projects, no at this point. We're trying to get people masks, but most of them are 5 or 6 feet apart. It's outside. These are schools. This is, the Charter Oak Bridge, major transportation projects. What we are doing is those small enclosed construction where people are tight quarters, that can't continue.
And we have a question this morning from Carol Ferrero. We just want to let you know we're talking to Governor Ned Lamont. I'm sure you recognize his voice if you're just tuning in, taking some of your questions to ask him. So thank you for that. Carol Ferrero wants to know about nursing homes. We know you had four options on the table, looking to kind of get either the positive residents out, put the negative residents elsewhere. We've seen dozens of facilities that have already had positive tests. So, Governor, what is the delay in moving residents to reduce the spread of the virus at this point?
Look, some residents prefer not to move, but at this point, we have a public emergency. And if you have you've been infected, you've got to go to a COVID-only wing or a COVID-only nursing home, and or vice versa. And we're being pretty strict about that. Look, it was a month ago that we said no visitors to the nursing homes for just this reason. We know how infectious it can be in an environment like that. We are getting the information out to the communities, nursing home by nursing home, so they know exactly what the situation is. This is true, by the way, of nursing homes. It's true of, corrections. It's true of homeless shelters. We're doing everything we can. We've got some extra capacity to make people self-quarantine, or else it could be, You saw what happened in Washington State, right, at that nursing home in Kirkland, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
We can't let that happen here.
Governor, we know anyone with a mortgage has a 90-day grace period for payments. What's the latest for renters? Are you talking to landlords as well?
Remember, it's a 90-day on a mortgage, and then hopefully you are able to flip into the federal program if you're a small business, and they will cover your mortgage interest for 18 months. We're working with landlords as well. We're trying to think about a rental subsidy program, trying to work with the feds on that as well, our congressional delegation, to see what support they can give. As you know, when it comes to health insurance, when it comes to the power utilities, when it comes to cable TV, even when it comes to the bank loans, like you said, we've got a grace period going, and we've got to do a better job for the renters.
And you mentioned earlier this week that AVID testing is a possibility. So for anybody who doesn't know, you had kind of broken this down very well, that it would allow up to 50,000 tests to be done a day. You would get results in a matter of, I think, 15 minutes. Do you have the latest on that, Governor?
I do. Remember, it's 50,000 a day, but that's nationwide. That's what
right.
they're producing. But thankfully, due to some good relationships, we've had high-level discussions with AVID. I think we're definitely going to be one of the priority states. We're hoping for the preliminary shipment, soon, very soon. And what the 15-minute test does is invaluable. I mean, if you're at, Stanford Hospital, we can immediately triage and see whether you've got to be in the COVID clinic or not, or maybe an intermediate care clinic. And it allows us to open up rooms and beds and PPE. So this is really a big plus for us.
And I actually had a question from this morning, Governor, that it came to my mind actually while we were interviewing another guest. So we learned from Mayor Joe Ganim yesterday that St. Vincent's has 70% of its ventilators open. Same thing with Bridgeport Hospital. Can you actually just kind of make it, I guess, where we can understand it a little bit better? If we have ventilators available, why aren't we divvying some of these patients to these hospitals that have the majority of their ventilators open?
Yeah, that's exactly what we are doing, Melissa. We've got all of our independent hospitals now working as one system. And that means when it comes to ventilators, when it comes to some PPE, when it comes to personnel, we can shift people around depending on where that need and that priority is. So you're right. Lower Fairfield County is getting close to capacity in terms of ventilators. Thankfully, St. Vincent's and others still have ventilators, so we're going to make sure we go where the needs are. And by the way, probably in 3 weeks or a month, it could be the northern part of the state that's more afflicted, and then Fairfield County will be able to send some of their PPE and ventilators north.
Well, Governor, we know that you have given us a lot of time. Just to end on a nicer note, we actually had somebody write in. We've had a number of people write in, but this person specifically just writing in as she's listening to you live right now, Lauren Wells in Stamford, saying she doesn't really have a question for you. She just wanted to express her gratitude to you personally, doing a really great job during this crazy, frightening, and unknown time. And she truly feels that you have Connecticut residents' best interests at heart. So she just wanted to thank you.
Well, thank Lauren and all the volunteers. If you see a nurse or a doctor or even a first responder, firemen and cops, thank them. These are our frontline responders, and they're really stepping up. So thanks, Tony.
All right, Governor Lamont, thank you so much. And take care of yourself. Stay safe.
We're right home. Thanks.
What's happening in Washington and how it affects you? Tony and Melissa in the morning welcome Congressman Jim Himes to WICC 600.
All right, Congressman Himes, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you here on this Friday morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thank God. Family is safe, but like everybody else listening now, we're all conscious of the fact that Connecticut just went through 100 fatalities yesterday to the coronavirus, so it's a pretty somber moment.
It really is. Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim is calling on local leaders to force a nationwide shutdown. What are your thoughts on that, and would it help if we considered it at this point?
Well, I hadn't seen that. I'm not quite sure what the mayor is referring to. Connecticut and the states around us have put in place orders. The governors have, because at the end of the day, it's a governor's call with respect to these sorts of shutdown. The governors have put in place orders that say we shouldn't be leaving our homes. And guess what? We shouldn't be leaving our homes except for the most essential activities like buying food or going to our jobs if we need to. And that's in place. And what's important, and you'll recall that the president sort of toyed with the idea of putting in place a quarantine around New Jersey, Connecticut, and New York. You know, ultimately, his experts talked him away from that, and I think that was smart. Look, bottom line is this virus is everywhere. There's not a single state, there's not a single city that doesn't have the virus. So stopping flow across state borders is not going to make nearly the impact that just getting people to stay home. And sadly, you know what? We're doing okay here. You drive around the area, you drive around Bridgeport or Fairfield or Stratford, you don't see people on the streets. But, you know, it was just a couple of days ago that you had spring breakers on the beach in Florida and, you know, people doing dumb things elsewhere. So really what's important is that people keep themselves distant from other people.
Now, Congressman, rumors have been flying that PPE and ventilators are being sent to certain states based on politics. So we know there's a bidding system that's in place to divvy up these items. In your opinion, do you think politics are playing a role in where these items are going? Why can't the feds just look at the hot spots, something like Connecticut, where we are the fourth leading infection? We have the leading infections, I should say, the fourth highest per capita. Why aren't hot spots enough to send the resources we need?
Yeah, Melissa, I saw those press reports too, and the answer is I don't know if that's happening. I sure as hell hope it's not. You know, I'm spending 18 hours a day working to make sure that Stanford Hospital and Bridgeport Hospital and St. Vincent's have the PPE that they need. And, you know, the situation is tough with them. They've got inventory, but of course, the number of cases they're seeing is rising dramatically. So, you know, just yesterday, Senator Blumenthal and Rosa DeLauro of New Haven and I spent time 45 minutes on the phone with the head of FEMA explaining that we are not separate from New York from the standpoint of the intensity of our cases up here and that he shouldn't think about us that way. You know, we've been on the phone with the vice president who every day goes on television and says, you know, things are great. People are manufacturing lots of masks. And, you know, frankly, I told the vice president's office, you may be seeing that, but we're not seeing that inside our hospitals where we need those masks. So, you know, by the way, I should mention, Melissa, as you probably know, a number of local philanthropies, Grace Farms up in New Canaan and other groups are really acting heroically here, working on their own to get the kind of equipment that we need. But we're in for a rough couple of weeks. And Melissa, I don't know if those stories are true or not. I sure as hell hope not, because if they are, when we get through this thing and people are no longer dying, some heads are going to roll. But right now, we are just 100% dedicated to making sure that our hospitals do not run out of that critical equipment, which keeps their people safe and which keeps our friends and neighbors from dying.
Congressman Jim Himes is here with us this morning, as he is most Fridays. Connecticut was the first state to have insurers offer a 60-day grace period for all insurance. Do you think the other states are going to follow the lead?
Yeah, I sure hope so, Tony. You know, across the board, and people, you know, just got through or in the process of paying their monthly bills. And again, I'm going to give a lot of credit to the insurance companies, to the banks of Connecticut. You know, 50 banks worked with the governor to basically give 3 months of flexibility on people paying their mortgage. If you can't pay your mortgage this month, and if you bank with one of those 50 banks, which you probably do, you will not have your, you know, there will be no foreclosure, there will be no adverse credit impact. Our utility companies, electric, gas, are pledging not to turn anybody's utilities off. That's all designed to allow people to keep money in their pocket so they can use it to buy food and medicine rather than, you know, have to pay the mortgage. So my hope is some of these efforts are federal. You know, the IRS isn't going to make you pay your taxes in 2 weeks. You got till the middle of July. Some of these efforts have been Connecticut, as you point out. But you know what? This, as I said earlier, this virus is everywhere. And so, you know, banks and insurance companies and utility companies everywhere have got to give Americans slack for the next couple of months as we get through this thing.
Congressman, are you in Connecticut or are you still in D.C.?
Yeah, no, I'm in Connecticut. I made a mad dash down to D.C. Exactly a week ago. I can't remember if we spoke on Friday morning, but, you know, we were worried that the bill wouldn't pass because
right.
There were a couple of folks that were promising obstruction. So Joe Courtney and Rosa DeLauro, a bunch of us, we drove down to D.C. on Thursday. We were there for the vote on Friday. It was a surreal thing. You know, usually you're packed into that chamber and chatting with your buddies. You know, we had probably 200 people in the chamber separated by 7 feet of distance, and the bill passed. So, but no, I'm back in Connecticut now. Working from home like so many others.
Okay. Well, we were going to ask, anything that you know happening in the day ahead? I know, obviously, this thing changes. It feels like minute to minute, honestly. But do you know anything that's any big announcements, anything going on in Washington, D.C. regarding COVID-19?
Well, I think the important thing, Melissa, that people need to know, because the question now is, okay, guys, you passed a $2 trillion historic bill. That's great. When am I going to see some benefit from it? And real quickly, some stuff is going to happen fast. So if you filed a 2018 or a 2019 tax return and you gave the IRS direct deposit information and you qualify for that $1,200 check, and if you make less than $75,000, you qualify for that $75,000 check in all likelihood, you're going to see that sometime in the next week or two. Unemployment insurance, brand new program, right? It's going to support gig economy workers, the Uber drivers out there, independent contractors. That's a brand new idea. Guess what? The software and the administrative overhead doesn't, it was a brand new program. So, folks are working like crazy to get that program stood up. But that's going to take a little longer. That's going to take, the governor is saying, 5 weeks. So people are going to see, depending on what it is, small business loans, I should mention those. Today is the day that the application process opens for small business loans, these forgivable loans that allow businesses to essentially get a grant to pay their payroll. That, too, is a brand new program. And though the application period opens today, there is absolutely going to be a crush at the door for that. So the resources are there, but people are going to need to be a little patient with some of these things.
Congressman Himes, we've run out of time. We thank you so much for helping us here. Thank you for your guidance and your leadership, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks very much, Tony. Stay safe, guys.
This morning, we are joined by Dr. Daniel Gottschall from St. Vincent's Medical Center, and we welcome him here to the show. Doc, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Okay. We're doing okay, though, so far. We know the peak is coming. What's the latest there at St. V's?
Yeah, actually, man. So St. Vincent's, we've been in the community for over 100 years. We're a mission-based organization with the goal of providing the highest quality, highest touch care to our community with special needs, to the special attention to the poor and vulnerable. And we continue to do it. We have about 50 patients that were concerned about having this COVID virus, 25 of which have been confirmed.
And Dr. Gottschall, the mayor said yesterday during his virtual town hall meeting that St. V's is actually nearing 50% patient capacity and has 70% of its ventilators available, which kudos to you guys. How exactly are you doing such a great job with containment and handling the pandemic?
So we have a really responsible surge plan and a great triage plan. We built out our emergency department, so when patients come in, right away they can be identified, and we want to make sure we understand if they're sick enough to come into the hospital. A lot of these patients, as you know, can shelter in place at home, making sure that they're keeping their family safe, and if they are sick enough, then we bring them into the hospital and provide them the highest quality care.
Do you think that you guys will start to have people from southern Connecticut, I guess more southern, like Stamford, even New York, starting to come up this way to places like St. V's or Bridgeport, just because you guys do have the capacity that's open right now and you have a lot of ventilators available?
As you've seen, a majority of the cases are occurring in Fairfield County, and we are ready and prepared to take care of whoever we need to.
All right. We're taking a moment here, and we're speaking with St. Vincent's Medical Center. Doc, what would you tell people about protection at this point? Is it worth always wearing a mask once you walk out the front door?
There's some really great data when you look at what happened in some of the other countries, whether it was Vietnam or Hong Kong or what's happening across the country, that what we're doing by wearing masks is we are protecting ourselves. But what we're really doing is there's a bunch of us that have been susceptible to this virus, but may not exhibit a lot of symptoms, but we can still be asymptomatic shedders of this virus. So by wearing a mask, we're doing two things. Number one, we're protecting our community. So we're being good neighbors and making sure that if we are asymptomatically shedding, we're protecting us, our ability to spread it to other people. And of course, we're protecting ourselves.
And we know that St. V's was one of just a handful of the COVID-19 testing site setups on their campuses. And we just wanted to know a check-in. How is that all going?
That continues to go very well. We're testing people across the street from the hospital at 2979. We're probably doing about 20 to 40 tests per day. What's interesting is, it's important certainly to test people, but if they're sick, the most important thing they can do is stay away from family and friends, quarantine in place, take good care of themselves. The signs and symptoms I think we're all very familiar with. They're going to have a fever. They're going to have a cough. They're just not going to feel well, generalized weakness. If they start to get really short of breath, if they're having a tough time getting out of bed, then they should call their medical facility and medical doctor and see if testing is appropriate.
And Dr. Gottschall, before we let you go, did you see the article about the gentleman that was in New York who didn't tell doctors he had COVID-19 symptoms and went into the maternity leave to go see his wife who was pregnant? Did you see anything about that?
Well, I'm an obstetrician gynecologist, so yes, I saw that. And I think, certainly I'm going to be in the office today seeing pregnant patients that are specifically concerned, as we all are, but they're actually taking care of themselves and their unborn child. You know, there's a lot that we know about this, but there's a lot that we don't. So the most important thing that we can do is be responsible stewards. If we're not sure that we're sick, put a mask on, stay away from people, and make sure you wash your hands.
Well, and only because you're in that department anyways, I would love to pick your brain really quick on this. I know I have actually a couple of friends, they don't live in Connecticut, but are expecting, and I know that their hospitals have put into place that family can't come and visit the baby when the baby's first born. It may even be that husbands can't be in the delivery room. Is there anything in place for St. V's to make sure that these moms and these expected babies are okay and they don't contract the virus?
Yeah, so we have a restricted visitor policy. Unfortunately, we're not letting anybody into the health system except at the beginning of life, and unfortunately what we're calling at the end of life. So we are allowing one labor partner to come in and to be at the bedside of the mother. We're asking them to wear a mask just for the reasons that we talked about, and we're asking them if they come in, they can stay, but they can't leave. So they should stay and be prepared to stay with the mom and then support her, and then when she leaves, they can leave. If they leave because they need to before that, we're not going to have them come back because of the risk of other exposures until they pick them up.
Dr. Daniel Gottschall, thank you so much for taking a few moments. You've cleared up a few things here for us. Thank you so much. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you again, I hope, as this epidemic continues. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And just a shout out to all the healthcare workers, not just healthcare, but certainly the facilities, environment, nutrition, everybody. It takes a huge team in order to be able to care for this community. So if you see somebody, give them an elbow rub, bow to them. They're doing the best they can to keep this community safe.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, sir, and good luck to you. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.